The growth of a Christian is complex and involves many change agents like God's Word, fellowship with other believers, personal prayer, and worship. These things are all very important, but they only serve to set up fertile soil in a Christian's heart. The growth comes from God and His exclusive work in our lives. And like the part that a farmer plays in growing a crop, he tills the soil, he plants the seed, he waters the seed, but God is the one who causes the growth. When we do what we can do to create an environment for growth, then God's work in our lives can take root. Today, Ken and I want to assure you that it is not our responsibility to grow, that's God's job. We are responsible to cultivate a heart and life that is conducive for growth. We want to encourage you that your life can change and it can grow, and that no matter what the situation is, with the right conditions, God's work can be effective. So we encourage you to cultivate the soil in your heart. Evaluate the environment that you find yourself in. If something needs to change so that God can grow in me, then I need to make a conscious choice to change it. Our prayer is that you will ask God to grow you and give you the courage to embrace the growth as it comes. Our prayer for you today is that as you sit in your sacred space this morning, that God's presence would surround you, whether you're on your deck, whether you're in your backyard, whether you're in your living room, whether you're lying down on your sofa, wherever it is you find yourself. Listening in this week to this space, we know and we pray that God will continually bless you and bring you His strength and grace for every new circumstance in your life. Blessings on you as we worship together today.
These are unprecedented times, filled with uncertainty and fear, changing how the church gathers together. But we will persevere, because the church is not a building. It is not brick and mortar. It is the body of Christ. It is all of us, honoring God no matter our circumstances, any place, any time, any day. We are still the church.
Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. see my sins upon that cross. I never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether
welcome. We're so glad you could join us today for worship. And last week, we began a new four-week series called Rooted. The agricultural imagery is strong in this series, and we want to be talking about it a little bit about it today. We're going to talk about seeds, soil, and growth. And remember last week, I said this is not a tutorial on how to plant, but we want to look into God's Word. Last week, we talked about soil. We had the good potting mix. We planted the seed into the soil and gave it a little bit of a spritz, a little bit of moisture and nutrients. And today I've brought my pepper plant, which I started from seed. I planted it in soil. I gave it the nutrients. I gave it the water. And then I've put it outside and it starts to grow. It produced roots. And now we actually have a flower coming on. Can't wait to see the fruit coming on this pepper plant. Now, after a seed is planted, what do you expect to do next? Oh, grow, right? Yeah, that's right. We expect the seed to grow, and ultimately, we all want the seed to grow and bear lots of delicious fruit. Can't wait for the peppers in this one. Now, we talked last week about how seeds need healthy soil, and this week, we're going to be talking about some other necessary agents of growth in a believer's life to bring the seed of the Word of Life to full fruit-bearing maturity. We looked at soil, we looked at water, we looked at sunlight, and all these are good. But let's talk about the necessary agents of growth through the lens now of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We look at verses 5 to 9. It says here, Paul says, "What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." And it's important to remember today that it is God who makes things grow. The seed matters. The soil matters. The water matters. The sunlight matters. But ultimately, the master gardener, the master architect of growth, directs the agents of growth. Spiritual growth is not growth by human hands. Now, through 1 Corinthians, we see the early church fighting back and forth, quarreling about many different aspects of their faith. In fact, it was such a problem that the Apostle Paul addressed it through the first and second letter to the Corinthian church. One of the specific arguments was over which leaders to follow. They must have felt that one was greater or more productive than the other. Paul clearly states that these men are simply servants of God. and that the fighting needs to stop because spiritual growth was not the result of human hands. It is God who makes things grow. The comments in Paul's letter were intended to free the readers from unnecessary comparisons and to get them to focus on God's work in their own lives. But unfortunately, we continue to see these arguments today about what's the best plan for growth for your church? What's and who is the best Christian speaker? Which church is more impactful? And on it goes. According to Paul, these things all have their place. But ultimately, the growth is up to God. We are God's field. According to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 and 9, it's good to know that God is interested in our growth. He sees each human heart as a field ready to bear fruit. Verse 9 says that we are God's co-workers in growth. And how can we practically help God in His work? We must act with wisdom and immerse ourselves in community with others who love Jesus and are growing themselves. It has been a little bit brutal this year, in this past couple of years of COVID-19, hasn't it? But still, people have been meeting together. People have been meeting and praying together over Zoom. This past week, Donette and I took part in an Ontario-wide prayer meeting over Zoom, and it was glorious. We must dedicate ourselves in reading God's Word and spending time with Him in prayer. We've started a Bible reading plan through the web and social media, and now many others are joining in. We must regularly worship Jesus with our lives. The worship of God is not confined and contained into the four walls of a building. We can worship God wherever we find ourselves during the day or night. I remember as a young man, one of my first jobs was as a steel worker in a steel fabrication plant. It was a dusty, dirty job, but day after day I found myself humming and singing praise and worship songs to myself throughout the day. I worshiped God in the midst of a dirty steel plant. We must constantly evaluate our lives and repent of our sin. We must evaluate ourselves based upon the commandments and instructions of Christ found in the Gospels. We sometimes sing, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." But we have to allow God to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In God's field, growth is not an option. We see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first two verses. The expectation is that we would grow and mature in faith. To be stagnant is not an option. Paul makes a comparison in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2 between milk, which is for babies, and solid food, which is for the mature. He says this, "Brothers and sisters, I would not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready to receive it. Indeed, you're still not ready." Now, in this passage, Paul clearly communicates that each person starts as an infant in the faith, but is expected to become a mature follower of God. Some Christians, however, are comfortable with their current relationship with God, even if it reveals immaturity and sin. This should not be. It is our responsibility to take the necessary steps in our own lives and the lives of others to be the agents of change that God intends us to be. Now, growth, of course, needs to be in the right environment. It almost goes without saying that spiritual growth and natural growth needs the right environment. It would be ludicrous to me for me to think that an apple tree can grow in the very middle of the Sahara Desert where the proper agents weren't present to help and encourage growth. Similarly, it's equally as in ludicrous for believers to think that they can have a robust and fruitful experience as disciples of Jesus, but they're still constantly immersed in an environment of sin, evil, and unhealth, where the divine agents of change are not even present. Let's consider the way Paul presents this idea in Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. He says this, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul is essentially saying here, do the things that you were doing when the seed was first planted in you. Continue to live in Him. Root yourself in Him by being devoted to the Word, to fellowship of the believers, and to prayer and worship. Continue to be strengthened by your commitments. Overflow with gratitude and thankfulness. It's pretty hard to remain in a stagnant place when you're overflowing with thankfulness for all that God is doing in your life. Let us be willing to evaluate and scrutinize the environment in which we are trying to grow. Let's be honest today about the things in our lives that are not conducive to healthy growth. Recognize adversity as an opportunity for growth. Now, when I first planted this seedling pepper, I brought it out into a pot. I brought it out. It's called hardening off the plant. The wind comes and buffets it. The rain comes. The sun comes and beats down on the plant. I put a little stick in here to support it. It's called hardening off the plant. It grows, gets more fruitful because of adversity. Admittedly, it can be hard to differentiate between unhealthy times from seasons of adversity that God may be using to grow us. We'll talk more about that next week, but in light of today's teaching on growth, it's important to recognize that seasons of adversity can promote healthy growth, strong roots, healthy stems, and good leaves. The book of James says it like this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. It's important to be prayerful through adversity. Seek counsel from more mature believers in discerning adversity from unhealth. And maybe more importantly, be humble enough to ask for help. We all have seasons of adversity, and we all need a little help from time to time to get through them. That doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. You will come through trials and adversities a stronger, a more mature believer, and that is positive kingdom growth. My friends, you might not be where you want to be right now, but by the grace of God, you aren't where you used to be either. Trust the process of growth. You are God's field, and it is God who will work through the agents of transformation to bring about the growth in you. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Let God's work in you. Embrace opportunities to be a healthy part of another person's growth process. Keep on meeting together with other believers over Zoom, maybe for the time being, but keep singing, keep praying, keep pressing on. The journey is a long one, but the eternal destination, well, it's all worth it. My friends, let's pray together. I know you desire to see me grow, God, and I know who I am now is not who I once was, and who I will be is not who I am now. Help me to recognize the areas of my life that need to be rearranged to create an environment of growth. Give me the conviction to make the changes so that you may have full reign in my life and grow me into the person that you have destined me to be. Amen. My friends, if you are interested in the things that you've heard today, not in the tutorial part of growing seeds into plants, but in spiritual matters, I encourage you to contact us, sawhitby.ca. You can contact us there online, leave a message, give us a phone call. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. May God richly bless you today.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refined.
one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin. Set apart.